you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 136 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Apologies for not being with you last week. I got waylaid and had to take off on an airplane to Atlanta for the Crisp Video Game Changer Summit, which was phenomenal. I hope you followed us on Facebook and Twitter and saw how much value was to be gained from Michael Mogul's tremendous conference. But I'm back in the saddle. And today I have a great guest, Joe Brashears. As you're going to hear, Joe is a fellow estate planning attorney from outside the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we're going to look at his journey and how he had came to be a solo practitioner, and in particular, how he is making use of technology, which is one of my favorite subjects here. You're going to see how he's got a lot of pieces that are connected together to provide, you know, really high quality support for his clients and productivity for himself as a true solo. And at the end of the conversation, we're going to talk about something that really interests me that he has done, and that is the use of a tool called Doodly. Interesting name, Doodly. It's a software that draws kind of a whiteboard presentation. And you see it in Facebook ads and LinkedIn and stuff like that. So we're going to talk about that. It's really interesting. So hope you enjoy this as much as I did. And here is my new friend, Joe Brashears. Joe Brashears, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. It's good to be with you.
Well, I am stoked that you're here today, Joe. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I am a solo practitioner. Among those in our profession, you'd say I'm an estate planner. When I talk to people, I tell them my practice provides peace of mind. In my experience, that's what clients are looking for. And that kind of confidence, that kind of peace comes only through planning, guided by someone you trust. So that's what I do.
Interesting. So you're not an estate planning attorney. You're a peace of mind vendor.
That's right. I don't sell documents.
Right.
I sell counsel.
Yeah. That's interesting. I like that approach. And, you know, as we've talked about on this show before, particularly for estate planning attorneys, part of the process of acquiring new clients is going through the educational process of helping them to understand why the services that you're offering are important to them and important now. And so the concept of providing peace of mind, I think, conveys that sense very succinctly.
Well, good. That's affirming, which is something solos always are looking for, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how long have you been a solo?
Well, I've been a licensed attorney now, 35 years. And for 22 of those years, I've been a solo. I worked 2 years for a small firm right out of law school here in the DFW area. And then in the middle of my career, I had an opportunity to serve as a trust attorney for a nonprofit foundation that managed endowment money, about $2 billion in assets for client institutions. And then that led to
that's a pretty healthy trust to be managing.
In that world, they're a fairly big player.
Yeah.
And then I was able to serve as general counsel and executive director of development for a seminary located here in Fort Worth. And so in my, what will be my final stint, I've come back to solo practice about 6 years ago. And the one thing that I have in common from the first iteration to this one is it, in both instances, started with no clients. So it's been exciting, to say the least.
Yeah, well, that is the challenge of the solo practitioner in many cases. It's rare that you're able to throw open the door with an existing client base. And I don't know, of course, that in some cases that's true if you're coming from a firm that you can bring some clients with you and you're just simply doing the same thing. But in your case, as was the case for me, we're starting on a new practice area, technically, even though you did trust administration and management, you really didn't do estate planning. So it is literally new and you didn't have any clients to bring with you.
That's exactly right.
So was it one of those leap first and look to find where you're going to land, or did you have a ramp up of planning that softened the blow?
Well, there was a ramp up of planning over a course of 3 or 4 months, spent, you know, investigating logistical options, thinking and praying through the options that we had, and then ultimately deciding to roll it out. I wish I could tell you I was more systematic at that point on the marketing side, but in terms of the rest of the practice, I kind of had a good idea of what I wanted to do, where I was going to do it, in a community where we had become established and were fairly well known. So,
I don't know too many solos who have, you know, gone through the whole planning process for all aspects of the firm. It's usually, again, I was like you. Many of our guests have been in the same position. They figured out where they want to practice, what they want to do, what, you know, kind of the environment is supposed to look like. But the business of generating a client base and building that firm, not something we typically plan out that much.
No, it's not a skill that we're taught in law school. Well, to be sure,
that's exactly right. And that's the reason for this podcast. So, when you first started, did you start in a brick and mortar kind of shop, or did you make some from the kitchen table? Or
There's a friend who ran an oil and gas company that had excess office space because they were in one of those periodic downturns. And so I leased an office and shared some of the equipment with them for 2 or 3 years. And so that was the way I launched. And they gave me a place that had a conference room and the like to meet with clients. So it was an ideal situation to begin.
All right. So you had your environment. What Yes. about your technology base? Or were you entrenched in a solution that you wanted to implement, or did you start with a blank sheet of paper?
Well, in one respect, I had decided I was going to be operating in the Mac world.
Oh, good.
And so that I had nailed down from the beginning. Some of the other logistical pieces, practice management, accounting solutions, CRM, those kind of things have evolved over time. But definitely knew I wanted to be in the Mac world.
So you brought your Mac. Let's see, were the iPhones in place at that point?
Yes, they were.
So you brought your Mac, you brought your iPhone, mm-hmm. you bring your tablet, you bring your iPad.
Yes, I did.
All right. So you got the Apple triumvirate there. And so you did not have a practice management software at the time?
I did not at the outset.
No.
But I quickly did some research, actually started with a Mac solution called Daylight, which is only recently gone cloud-based, right. And And so I utilized that to track database tasks and things like that. Sure. At the outset. And then fairly shortly after, began to look at the cloud world for solutions that were a little bit more robust in some respects.
So in those days, now just for full disclosure, I'm a Daylight user, still a Daylight user, and happy to say that Daylight is a sponsor of the podcast.
So wonderful.
They're friends of the podcast. But at the time, you know, your options were to run Daylight on a local installation, your own Mac, your own computer. They, at that point, didn't have a cloud installation. So if you wanted to go to the cloud and have that flexibility, then, you know, about then there were only a couple of vendors that you could evaluate.
Right.
Who did you end up going with?
Well, I started with MyCase.
Okay.
And went there because I wanted to add the payment processing piece.
Sure, exactly.
I wanted to make it as easy as possible and give clients as many options as possible to pay. And so that offered another thing that Daylight didn't have available at the time.
Correct.
And it integrated with LawPay, my credit card processor.
Yep.
And but since those days, I have migrated through a number of different solutions, and now I have finally settled on a solution called Action Step.
Oh, interesting. Because that's not as widely implemented around the country or the world as some of the other solutions. What was the discriminator for you in choosing Action Step?
Well, one was integrated accounting.
Yeah.
Another was their emphasis on workflows. And along the way, I had done some reading, some different books that we could talk about at some point in the podcast. Mm-hmm. But done some reading about systems and workflows and processes, and that's kind of the framework around which Action Step is built. So you can create customized workflows that can automate certain tasks. And so that was important. I knew I needed to leverage technology wherever I could.
Which is the lifeblood of a solo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last, I guess, the last kind of crowning piece for me has been within the last 6 months. I found a group of practitioners that are like me. They're dedicated to practice excellence in estate planning. The group's called Lawyers with Purpose. And so I'm a member there as well as a Wealth Council member. But Lawyers with Purpose actually has integrated workflows already customized in Action Step. And so I found that I was able to, instead of writing every process from scratch, I was able to look at some existing processes and just edit, which is always easier. So,
yeah, I have recently had an opportunity to look a little closer at Lawyers with Purpose. They have tremendous educational resources for the estate planner, which are very tempting to take advantage of. But you also are a member of Wealth Council, so you've got a lot of bases covered and a lot of tools available to you. Give us just kind of an example of a workflow that's implemented in Action Step. Let's just say for, you know, a single individual who's just doing a will-based estate plan, what kind of action flow would be reflected in the Action Step platform?
Well, it actually begins with the intake process.
Okay.
And so there are intake forms that I have created that I can automatically send to clients. And so we get a lot of our data gathering done using the client to do that for us, so that names are spelled correctly more often than not. And it also streamlines that first meeting. So So the intake process is fairly well automated.
Is that like in a fillable PDF, or what do you send them to fill out, or do they just print it out and type it?
I use, for those who are able, I send a fillable PDF. But for others, I have a companion piece of software that called Lexicata that allows, it's more of a web form that anyone can open and enter the information. It's encrypted and then transmitted back. So I use that a fair amount as well.
And then you can pull the data from Lexicata into ActionStep.
That's right. Then we pull the data into ActionStep.
And well, Joe, you're just covering yourself with all these advanced tools, because Lexicata for intake management is almost, I mean, I've heard some people refer to it as the Cadillac of intake management software.
Well, it is. It's become really widely accepted in a very short period of time. For me as an ActionStep user, I was a little bit interested in a not so happy way to learn that they've been purchased by Clio.
That's what I was going to say. Haven't they been purchased? I thought they'd been purchased by somebody. They've been purchased by Clio. So, but you can still use them. Your license is still.
Still have, it's an annual license, so I can at least fill out this term. I'm thinking that doesn't bode well for the long term for non-Clio subscribers. So
it's possible we'll have to get Clio on the phone and ask them directly at some point.
That would be great to hear, and it would be great to know if you got the straight scoop.
Yeah, exactly.
In that phone call.
All right, so you got Lexicata or a fillable PDF, or God forbid they actually fill out a piece of paper, and you get that and you bring it into your action step. And that then allows you to track tasks and
meetings,
appointments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Create notes.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. The value to me, the greatest value, I guess I should say, it's not the only value, but the greatest value to me in Lawyers with Purpose was the fact that there's a tremendous focus on the business process side of what we do. And so when you adopt their workflows, their process, everything's already integrated. So meetings can be scheduled. Updates you're prompted to provide file notes and updates as you move through the meetings, and each change from one stage to another, from one step to another, launches another set of tasks that you're automatically prompted to fulfill. So it's a robust business plan that really fit with my philosophy in the first place, with how I want to work with people. And so it's been great from that standpoint. Wealth Counsel is unparalleled on the technical side. Mm-hmm. I think their document engine is still the best thing out there. And so I'll have some continuing relationship with them, if nothing else, to have access to Wealth Docs.
Right.
So, but on the business side,
for our listeners who aren't familiar, Wealth Counsel is a association of attorneys that focus on estate planning, and their Wealth Docs platform allows you to. It's a document assembly platform that you can use to generate a host of estate planning products.
Yes, and it allows you to do truly custom planning based on whatever client has told you is most important to them. You can adapt just about anything that they want into that document engine. So it helps reinforce the notion that what we as estate planners ought to be doing is spending our time with our clients, listening to them, hearing what's important to them, and then crafting solutions out of that. But the byproduct is the document.
And the other good thing about that is you have a consistency within your document in terms of format and content and language. And so it's not like you're taking a previous document, copying it, and changing the names. And that kind of thing, which I know works for a lot of attorneys in a lot of situations, but this allows you a little bit of standardization and yet the ability to customize it at the same time.
It absolutely does. Every plan, every document is a new document, and it's allowed me to do the absolute best work I've done in 35 years.
How do you, or are you able to extract the information then from your action step platform and automatically populate your wealth counsel database?
Sadly, no.
Right. Okay.
That's not there yet. WealthDocs now has a cloud version.
Right.
Their first integration, it won't surprise you to know, was with Clio. And the 800-pound gorilla of practice management software. Sure. But they do have in line some other integrations. So I'm hopeful at one point that there will be a more natural transition, or there will be a way with a Zap or some other way to automate some of that transfer.
Sure. And again, just for our listeners, you and I as techies, we understand when you say Zap, you're referring to a link provided by a platform called Zapier.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That essentially it's a heavyweight macro that automates a task and allows one piece of software to communicate with another.
Yeah. It really allows a wide variety of applications to talk to other applications. That's the topic for a whole nother discussion at some point, because I'm just blown away by Zapier.
It is amazing.
It's amazing. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. Hey, law entrepreneurs, let me welcome our newest of sponsors here on the show, and that's the great folks at Simple Contacts. You know, I love when I discover companies that solve for those pesky tasks or problems we all have, and one that I tried recently is called Simple Contacts, and it's a total game changer for anyone who wears contact lenses. I wear contact lenses. I had LASIK surgery before, but it didn't really do well for one eye, so I wear contact lenses in one eye only. If you wear contacts, then you know how annoying it is to have to get a prescription year after year just to be able to go buy more contacts. And you always seem to run out of lenses right before a big event like a vacation or a wedding, right? Well, Simple Contacts is changing all that by using technology, which, you know, I love, to make renewing your prescription and buying contacts super, well, super simple. Here's how it works. Using your phone or a computer, you can take the Simple Contacts vision test in 5 minutes from literally anywhere, your couch, your office, the airport. And then a real doctor reviews your test in 24 hours. And if your vision hasn't changed, that's the whole reason for doing this, they write you a new prescription. And boom, a fresh supply of your brand of lenses is on the way to your door. There's no more appointments, no more waiting rooms, no more overpaying. Simple Contacts brings the doctor's office to wherever you are, whenever you need it, so you can skip the office visit, but not the care. If you have an unexpired prescription, just upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and order your lenses in minutes for a great price. They do all the hard work for you. And like I said, you know, I have just used the one lens and I need it for driving, and oftentimes, you know, I've run out of lenses and then, you know, I have to make an appointment. Sometimes I can't get an appointment right away. And then I have to deal with my glasses in the car. And it's just a hassle. If I could do it online, it would solve everything. And so when I found these folks here at Simple Contacts and checked them out, I was thrilled at how well this works. This is really vision care for the 21st century. Simple Contacts offers every brand of lenses at amazing prices. The prescription is just $20. The contact lens prices themselves are unbeatable, and there are never any hidden fees, and shipping is free. I mean, come on. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first Simple Contacts order. So to save $20 on your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/TLE. Or enter the code TLE at checkout and you'll save yourself $20. I want to mention that this isn't a replacement for, you know, periodic full eye health examinations. You still need those, but it is the most convenient way to renew the prescription. And as long as your prescription hasn't changed, you can then reorder your contacts right away. So again, check out Simple Contacts and get $20 off by going to simplecontacts.com/TLE. Or just enter the code TLE at checkout and give them a try, and you can thank me later. I love them, and I'm sure you're going to feel the same way. Simple Contacts, welcome. We appreciate your sponsorship. So, but you know, so you're in the same boat as a lot of estate planning attorneys. You have a case management tool that works for you that helps you keep the process moving along, but you have a separate documentation integration and generation tool. And at some point, I think we all hope to see those linked up and integrated.
Yes.
So that takes us then to the marketing. So you've got all these great systems in place, and it is standardized, it's systematized. It, you know, if the time comes you want to add staff, you've already got the process in place. It's really facilitates the training component, I would think, as well.
Yes.
But now, how do you get the clients in the door?
Well, that is the challenge, isn't it?
It is.
And it's another one of those subjects that isn't taught, or at least it wasn't back in the late 1800s when I went to law school. So it's something we have to learn as practitioners. And so I have a website. It happens to be one that I created myself. It's a WordPress website with a client theme that I was able to use. So basically a template. I do have a Facebook page that is connected. So when I do some writing and post to the blog page on the website, that automatically is transmitted to Facebook and into my Twitter account. But there's no question the most profitable and the richest source of clients for me come from the relationships I've developed with financial advisors, investment counselors, CPAs, and other related professions. So as I've started to analyze my practice from a system standpoint, I'm in the process of systematizing my marketing to those allied professionals as well. And Lawyers with Purpose has been a great resource in that regard.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, they have a whole system created for what they call synergy meetings. And mm-hmm. and these are basically a way to take the normal, what you would, in the old days, you would have just had lunch with someone that you were trying to cultivate yeah. as a referral source. But it takes that meeting to a more systematic agenda. And it's still very natural. It's a very natural conversation. But there is an underlying purpose to the conversation, and that is to let them know a little bit about our processes and how they work and how they will benefit their clients if they choose to send people our way. And then there's a portion of the discussion that's focused on them and on how our work can actually help grow their practice as well. And there's several ways that can happen.
So it's basically, you know, in essence, kind of a script overview, kind of a process overview to help guide you through that type of relationship building.
Yes, meeting. There's definitely, there's an agenda with just a list of topics that you want to make sure you touch on if you have an opportunity to.
And you found this to be valuable for you?
I have. I can't say that I have fully integrated that yet.
Right.
But it certainly has changed the way I interact with some of my allied professionals. And it also has translated back into my workflows because it has made me more conscious of inviting them to meetings with clients if the clients authorize it. It's also, it's made me more aware of the need to keep them informed on what's going on and our progress with their clients. And so at the outset, I let our new clients know that we want them to grant permission to discuss when we need to our progress and at least the strategies that they've authorized us to employ with their advisors so that we integrate their whole financial plan into their estate plan and we don't have one working against the other. And so I think that has given a heightened sense of confidence to those financial advisors as well, that they know what's going on, they know where we are in the process, and they're not just getting feedback from their clients, but they're also hearing from us on a regular basis.
So that's kind of interesting. So you get a client in and you find out from them who their financial planner is or who their CPA is or who their tax preparer is. And then you circle back to them, keeping them abreast of their mutual client. And that creates a relationship that hopefully down the road, that allied professional will want to continue to foster a relationship and send the client back to you.
That's exactly right.
Now, do you do it from the other way around? Do you contact allied professionals with whom you do not have a mutual client with, just to simply try and develop that relationship?
I,
in essence, cold calling.
I do a little bit of that. when I have been either introduced briefly or become aware of a financial advisor, one of the things that I've done is create a newsletter that goes out monthly, specifically to financial advisors. And so I'll invite them to receive that newsletter. And that has actually generated some business from people that I wasn't aware were even paying attention. All of a sudden I get a call from a client and they tell me that, you know, Fred said we should get in touch with you. And so it allows me then to circle back. And inevitably, what prompted Fred to send them my way was he had just gotten my November newsletter. Yeah. So that's always an interesting good outcome.
You know, I had a meeting yesterday with a financial advisor, not one that I knew very well. I knew of him. I knew of his practice. And the meeting reinforced in my mind, and thinking about your synergy meeting agenda type approach, the meeting reinforced in my mind that you really have to know what it is you're attempting to do at that first coffee or first lunch. It can't just really be, hey, let's get to know each other.
You know? Right. Right.
That's helpful. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you have something more in mind than just a social lunch, then you really have to have a systematic approach to that process. And it sounds to me that that's what's being offered through Lawyers with Purpose that you're taking advantage of.
I have really found that helpful because you know that we all know people that we like very well, that personally we would love to share a meal with, socialize with outside the office, but we wouldn't necessarily know whether we would want to send any of our clients to them for advice. And so the only way to distinguish those people from people that you would consider a valuable resource for your own clients, if they don't have an advisor, is to really approach those meetings with some intent, an agenda behind them, so that you go beyond the superficial and actually begin to explore as businessmen what it is that you can do to help each other serve your clients better.
This advisor asked me repeatedly, what can I do for you? And I didn't want to say send me clients, send me referrals, although that's ultimately what I want after a relationship is built. But he really pressed me. What is it that I can do for you? Why are we having this meeting? And so I took away from this, it wasn't a very good meeting. I'll share this with my audience. I didn't do a very good job. But I took away from it, I've got to get much clearer on what my intent is and be ready to answer that question and others.
Yes, yes. And I would encourage you, it's not a bad thing to say, I would love to have the honor of serving anyone who you think would benefit from what we do. But, you know, there are other things that we can do with them. There are other things we can ask of them. Perhaps the opportunity to speak to a group or that they're associated with, either one of their professional organizations or to some other advisors in their office. So there's some things that we can do on the educational side that can really be of benefit to them and help them do a better job of identifying needs in their clients that might be a little bit outside their training and their background and their expertise. And that makes them look good to their people. Yep. So I think both are very valid asks, but you're right. If we go into a meeting without an underlying purpose in mind, they tend to just be an hour spent pleasantly.
Yeah.
And not as productive as they could be. Well, and I've been as guilty of that as anybody.
Yeah, we all have. And we walk away from the meeting saying, hey, that was a great lunch, and that was a great cup of coffee. I really got along with them. And then you have to do that 4, 5, 6 times before you get around to to really doing some business together. And maybe that could be improved upon.
Now, sure.
You mentioned education, and that leads me directly to something I wanted to spend a few minutes at the end of this conversation chatting with you about. One of the reasons I reached out to you, Joe, as you know, is you did this really creative video. And for our audience, I'm sure most of our audience have seen these videos on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on some of the other social platforms, where it looks like somebody is drawing on a whiteboard. And it's almost a cartoon or kind of black and white presentation on a whiteboard. And the hand moves real fast and the picture comes about. You did one talking about your firm, and I'm going to let you plug it here so people can go look at it when they have a moment. Your firm and what it is you do and why you do it. And you did it on a platform called Doodly, Doodly.com. I'm almost hesitant to even mention this because I don't want everybody else to go do this because I want to do it. You did it. I don't want everybody to do it. So for our listeners, listen to this and then forget about it, okay?
Well, you have me on, Neil, so it's pretty much you and I.
Yeah, okay, just you and me. Okay,
so don't worry.
So tell me a little bit how this came about and how you made this happen.
Well, I will tell you, I discovered Doodly in a Facebook ad, and so.
Which we're not supposed to click on. No, you know.
No, I know.
But
I know.
They work because we do. And they
do work because they're enticing.
And oftentimes, they're pretty good. The product is pretty good.
This one turned out to be pretty good. It doesn't do everything. It doesn't. It is, as you described very well, it's designed to create a certain kind of a video, and it's supposed to look a certain way, and their look and the concept behind Doodly seemed to fit well with one of the ongoing themes that I keep reminding myself about in my practice, and that is that our clients and prospective clients don't really want to hear about us. They don't want to know. They assume that we have some technical expertise, or we wouldn't have the license, we wouldn't have gotten the education. And so they assume a lot of that. What they want to know is, can this man communicate to me what it is I need to know, and does he care about me? And so one of the ongoing themes for me is to step out of my technical world and to communicate like a normal human being. And Doodly is a great fit with that. It allows you to illustrate simple concepts in a really engaging way and to do it pretty easily. So my first attempt is out there for the world to see and to critique. Number two came fairly shortly thereafter.
Oh, you've got a second one.
I do have a second one. Yes. On do I need a will or a trust? And it's called Will or Trust, You Decide. And so I've tried to just at a very high level introduce people to what in the world we mean when we talk about estate planning. Is it very mysterious, or does it just boil down to what you and I know it involves? And that is, who's in control, who benefits, and when does that happen? Those are the issues we're dealing with. And so, you know, people, if you'll allow the shameless plug, anybody who wants to see it can go to my website. It's brashearslaw.com. That's spelled B-R-E, and then your cutting shears, S-H-E-A-R-S-L-A-W.com.
And so both videos are on the website?
Both will be on the journal, on the blog page. And the first one is actually if you scroll down on the homepage, I've actually embedded it on the homepage as well.
Okay. So now what I find is really interesting about this platform, you know, first it's mesmerizing, it's engaging. So when you start to see one of those pictures being drawn, you're like, are they really drawing that? Or is it, some other type of, you know, sleight of hand. At least that's what I think. But then you're drawn into the action on the screen, mm-hmm. and you know, is very captivating.
It really is. And honestly, as you said a bit ago, we sometimes hope that not too many people catch on to some of these ideas, because, you know, the biggest challenge we all have as practitioners is distinguishing ourselves from someone else. I find that my financial advisor friends have the same struggle with access to legal and financial services on the internet. We're not unique on the technical side. And if our only pitch to prospective clients is come to me because I'm better than the guy next door, that's not going to work very well. So this is just another way to say we're not your grandfather's law firm. We're different. And we're determined to communicate with you in a way that's engaging, that's not boring, it's enjoyable, and it kind of draws you into what in the world is that scribbling is going on? What's the story that's being told here?
Yeah.
And so I think you
did a great job with it. And, you know, for me, I mean, I can see we're talking about it in the estate planning context, but I can see a family law attorney using this tool to great advantage. I can see a criminal defense attorney, DUI defense, using this to great advantage to kind of explain the process, explain the issues to prospective clients in a way that's, like I said, engaging and entertaining. And I'm going to be honest with you. We hear a lot about video content marketing these days. That's a real discriminator. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm a little hesitant to put my mug on the screen all the time.
I'm with you there.
You know? And so this tool where I have this engaging whiteboard, I'm going to say cartoon, but that's not really a good description of it. Whiteboard diagram, let's say. That kind of gets over that hurdle, doesn't it?
It really does. It allows you to communicate without asking someone to endure looking at your mug for 2 or 3 minutes. Right. And these, you know, it's as if a cartoon and a stick figure had a child. And here's this doodly that's in between the two. And now, it's really an interesting format and I hope will be a really effective way to communicate, because we do all, from the standpoint of a business model, we all, no matter what our practice area, we need to have clients approach us and enter our offices for the first meeting with some modicum of information in their pocket. We don't want to start from square one with every single new client.
Right.
If we can avoid it.
Yeah.
So the educational process is not only for their benefit, but it also streamlines what it is that we do and saves some of the time that we would otherwise have to spend explaining to them some of the basic terms. In the case of a personal injury attorney, for example, asking them whether or not they had, you know, taken pictures at the scene of the accident and done all those things. Hopefully, if they saw your educational videos online and then they're hit by that other car, they will know what to do and they'll arrive prepared.
Yeah.
And that
it just makes you more efficient and more cost effective.
More efficient, more effective.
Now, how long did it take you to put together this video clip?
About 3 or 4 hours.
That's remarkable.
On that first one, because, you know, I had just downloaded the software. And so literally that was the first thing I did with it.
And how about the second one?
The second one took me about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're both in the 3 to 4 minute range, which I still think may be a little bit long, but you may have some thoughts on that. But
I didn't think so. I thought it was perfectly fine.
Well, so, you know, the learning curve is pretty fast, and Doodly has canned scenes that you can use. They also have characters that you can.
That was going to be my next question. Is that character modeled after you or just?
No, because most people's iPhones are not large enough. to model it after me. So no, not modeled after me. Those are canned characters, and then they have
took me a while to get that joke, but I got it now. Thanks. I'm with you on that one.
We're back on the same page. That's good. That's good to know. And then they have what they call props, desks, chairs.
Yeah.
And so you can choose from their library, or you can also, one of the more powerful things that it allows you to do is you can import any graphic image you want. And you can teach it how to draw that image. So you can actually create paths that move the hand in the way that you want that image to be created on the screen. So it becomes a part of the library, and it behaves exactly like their canned props or canned characters, but it's unique to you. So,
and you can use it again over and over again in subsequent video clips that you create.
Absolutely. So you teach it how to draw your logo, and it draws your logo for you.
That's unbelievable. Well, I urge our listeners to go to Brashearslaw.com and take a look at it. I think it's great work. You inspired me. I'm going to try and get mine up before the rest of the world does. And maybe we can share all these cartoon videos with everybody and kind of get some sense of accomplishment that way.
You'll cover the northern U.S. and I'll cover the southwest.
There you go, Joe. Hey, Joe, thanks so much for being a part of this show today. I really do appreciate it, and I look forward to staying in touch with you further down the line. And next time I'm in Dallas, I'm going to come say hi.
Please do. And thanks, Neil, for having me. It's been a real pleasure. I look forward to staying in touch.
All right, then. Thanks for being on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur and welcome our newest sponsor, Simple Contacts. They, along with our old friends at Spotlight Branding, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, and Ruby Receptionists, are the ones that make this podcast possible. And for them, I am very grateful. So please be sure to visit their websites. You can find the locations in the show notes for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Or you can go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to the resources page. And there you can find a way to get to each of their websites. So please visit their websites, sign on as clients. I'm a client now of all three, and I think you'll be happy you did so. So that's Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, and Market Circle, the makers of Daylight.